I haven't heard from him in two days. I don't know what his story is.
Good wishes. Feel better.
I know he pulled the shoot yesterday on today's show.
Yeah, see, that's a tough.
He's sick. What do you want?
No, 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 no.
He talks a big game. You pull the shoot the day of.
You don't pull the shoot the day of. Like, you know what? Next Thursday, I'm not going to feel well.
Right.
No, but if you're like, if you're really sick, you know the next day you might be a little better, but you're not going to be good enough.
How do you know that?
You don't know that.
I don't know. I was sick for the first time in a long time a few weeks ago, and I was like dead. And the next,
the next day you did something, right?
Well,
like, I feel like there's, I'm never going to challenge. I never challenge an injury or a sickness because I've been there before and all that. It's just the preemptive, like, hey,
heads up.
I don't think that's true though.
Tomorrow. What?
No,
we didn't get full confirmation until today.
No, no, no. There was
confirmation.
I think there was confirmation last night.
Don't listen to the fake news that's being peddled out here. There's propaganda starting to take place here on behalf of the O-Dog.
Yeah.
And it's bogus. It was the wheels were in motion last night.
Yeah, exactly.
He pulled the pin last night.
Like, see, I know I've played with guys that it was like clockwork. You would see, like, maybe a little pocket in the schedule where you're like, I can see that guy not being available for that game, for that scenario. Like,
for what reason?
I don't know. It's just...
Lots of games, mid-season.
Yeah, I'm never going to challenge, but like, oh, you know what? It's just nice to stick around that city one day extra or do something. Like, I always felt like I could predict, like, oh, there's going to be something going on with that guy around this time. And clockwork, like you want to talk about betting, like that's where you could lay a bet down and go, I would put money that this guy's not going to be available.
That's a great game. Call your shot on when a guy isn't going to play.
Yeah.
Like this Le'Veon Bell story is incredible. He didn't play over the weekend for the Jets because he had the flu, so he couldn't play.
Right.
He was spotted bowling that night.
Was it that night or the night before?
I believe it was the night of the game. So did not play in the game, but later that day was out bowling. And he showed up at the Jets facility today, and the media is just waiting for him. This is in New York. This is a guy they paid a boatload of money to. He's been okay. He hasn't really done anything. And the Jets are terrible. It was Saturday night that he was out bowling? Okay, so there you go.
Night before. So is that kind of a flu with quotation marks around it where you're
out the night before.
Your booze bagged up. Like, that's to me, that's a hyperbaric chamber, maybe an IV, and get out there and play.
But what kind of bowling alley are you at where you're putting on that type of a show?
Isn't there a nice one in Toronto right by the theater there, Scotiabank, right on that corner?
I've been there, but it's not like you're on the Vegas Strip here. I mean, you're still bowling, you have a couple of beers or something. It's not like it's the greatest party in the world.
Maybe that place is a party, though, in Toronto. I feel like that place you can take a deep.
It's a cool spot. It's a very cool spot. But if you have a game the next day, I think, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. You still have to fight through.
We had a guy, and this is in the minors, so I'll throw him under the bus. I won't say his name. But, like, he left the game with an injury. Like, flat out, like, this guy had, like, a leg injury. And we all went out after the game. This guy's on the dance floor. Like, you can't be on the dance floor if you can't play in the game that night. Because you've got a leg injury, this guy's cut and rug like he's John Travolta in Saturday Night Live. And like to the point where some of the leaders had to go over and be like, dude, we care, but we don't care. But you cannot be like doing scissor kicks and doing the splits when you got carried off the ice in the first period.
Right.
Like, maybe he's feeling better.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had some medication in him. But still,
here's the Bell story. Okay, so he was sent home Friday with an illness. On Saturday night, they ruled him out for the game the next day. So he pulled the O-Dog. Hey, I don't think I can go tomorrow. And he was spotted at a local bowling alley in New Jersey, and he was there from 10:30 to 1 a.m.
Please tell me that O-Dog is at a bowling alley in Collingwood.
I
feel like there is somebody that has spotted him at either the grocery store, at a local, you know, restaurant, because you know he has to eat.
That's
and all
what
of that.
I'm asking.
You I know, guarantee you somebody has snapped a photo and be like, that's the O-Dog sitting
there. Has anyone seen this guy out in the city of Toronto or Collingwood over the past 48 hours?
For
if
sure.
If so, we want access
I promise
to
you, at least even him having to go and get, you know, fluids for a cold or whatever. He's been at the grocery store, at a restaurant, or at a bowling alley if he's Le'Veon Ball.
Le'Veon Bell, sorry, and I agree Le'Veon with that. Bell. And this is what Bell had to say. Listen to this quote. Okay, asked about that. Hey, you pulled the pin on the game, then you went bowling. Said, quote, the biggest surprise is I bowled a 251 off the flu. That's a career high.
That's amazing.
I'm sure the franchise is going to love that comment. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Oh, the Jets, they get it right all the time, don't they?
They always do. Le'Veon Bell, the guy, he doesn't play a game for Pittsburgh last year. And then he goes, I'm chasing the money, and the Jets give him the money, and this is how he repays them in the first year of a monster deal that they couldn't unload. They tried to trade him before the trade deadline. Wow. There's too much guaranteed money. And this guy is pulling the chute on a game. Yeah, it's a meaningless game. They're out of the playoff run, but still, you're a pro. You only have to play 16 times. And then he's out bowling the night before the game.
Yeah, but he rolled a 251.
Which is impressive.
Very impressive.
It's very impressive. But, I mean, I'm sure you've seen examples. Noodles was telling us of some examples of his playing career without naming names where you're like, nah. That guy, he probably could have played because I saw what he was up to either the night before or the night of the game.
Well, the ones I can remember, honestly, and there's not a whole bunch, but there's some, is like you'd go into a place that was kind of a nasty piece of business, and you could, from a mile away, see, oh, wait a minute, this guy's got the limp on today. Gee, what a shocker. He's in the morning skate. He's got a bad hamstring.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine yesterday. And now, because we've got these monsters that we got to play against, all of a sudden he's not able to go. And then you see him walking out after the game, and you're like, man, it's like he's going to a Christmas party. It's like, guy's in great spirit.
Just so happy.
I mean, there's story after story, Ray. Like, I remember one of my close friends was playing for the Oilers at the time. They played shorthanded because one of the forwards had the flu. But they were in Phoenix back then, and he missed the game with the flu. They played with like 10 forwards. The next day, he's leaving. He's in the elevator with his clubs. He's going golfing, and they're all having breakfast. They're going, is that the guy who was deathly ill? Couldn't play for us last night, but he's going to go shoot 36 today.
Yep, TPC calling his name.
Like,
so is that what we're thinking O's done here?
Well, I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he's sick. Everyone's sick right now. And
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
I never challenge injuries or sickness, but we're just trying to see if he's been spotted out and about.
What's he up to? That's what I want to know. It's fine that you're
not
in here.
We're not calling him Verbata, are we?
Well, those are his words. I put it this way, right? If I was off the past 2 days and he was in here, he would spend 6 straight hours of programming calling me Verbata, soft, taking runs at me.
And it even goes a step further. Apparently, or allegedly, he called his shot yesterday saying he's not going to be available for today.
That's a courtesy to me, though, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's a courtesy. But to me, it would be more like, hey, Jonas, please be available in case I can't go. Like, that's a... To me, it's a game time decision.
It's a game time decision.
We see this all the time in hockey. No. Like, is he playing tomorrow? Well, it's a game time decision.
He put himself on the IR last night. Long term IR for the O-Dog.
Wait, Ray, let me ask you. Was there ever a time where you did not play a game because of, like, well, you just didn't feel like playing?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
1,200 games, no. Man. You got to fight through every once in a while.
There were lots of games I played that I shouldn't have played because I was no good. And on that night, and the coach would ask, this actually has happened. Hey, were you feeling all right tonight? Yeah, I felt good. You're like, oh, sorry about that. I guess I'll be better next game.
Those are always the best subtle, passive-aggressive messages.
The coach is wondering, are you sick? Are you injured? Like, what's going on? Like,
I just watched you. You're awful right now.
We had a guy in the minors. I don't know if you remember that Yari Grandstand.
Yep.
And he couldn't pronounce Butch Goring's name too well, so he's like, Yari, you gonna play? Not today, Butch. That was it. Not today, Butch.
Not feeling it, Butch. Not going to be able to crack the liney tonight.
No, all good.
Well, what are you going to do? So the Leafs are out in Vancouver, and I'm just seeing this this quote. Alex Kerfoot is speaking, and he's from Vancouver. And Thomas Drantz, your boy from The Athletic,
shout out,
writing this, saying, Kerfoot just spoke to the media and said, quote, I was a Canucks fan, but I was never one of those guys that just hated the Leafs. And then this is the big mic drop that'll go over well in Vancouver. A lot of people are just jealous the Leafs get more attention, end quote. So there you go. Vancouverite back in his hometown putting a target on his back. I love that type of quote. How's the market handling Leafs Nation taking over?
Well, they don't like it. They start ripping on TSN for a national network that every time they turn on the TV, like, why wasn't there more coverage of Alex Burrows going into the Ring of Honor? Because if it was a Leaf, it would have been a big deal, and like kind of like stuff like that. It's kind of like never ending. You know, the only thing I'm disappointed is it's a weekday game, because I really enjoy when everybody out here gets their shorts in a knot when they have a 4 o'clock Saturday night game, because they think why should we change the game time for Toronto. I find it quite amusing, actually.
I do too. I love just needling people, because I understand it. If you're in Vancouver, you're like, wait a minute, I want to go to the game at 7 o'clock, and it's blatantly just catering to the fans and, you know, slobs like me back in Toronto who are like, well, my schedule can't possibly
my routine
be adjusted.
My routine cannot be affected whatsoever.
How dare you do that?
And so, but the thing is, you try to explain it to people, well, it's because millions of people want to watch the game in the East at 7 o'clock. And they're like, yeah, but we live out West. Yeah, but you're not hearing that millions of people means there's money involved and money rules.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Well,
but they're excited for this game, honestly, out here, because the Canucks have been, I think, one of the more pleasant surprises. They score lots of goals. When's the last time there was a Canucks team that was really fun to watch? Like, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Hughes has energized things here, and then, of course, they got Pettersson and Besser, and you get good goaltending. I think it'll be an entertaining game. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun game tonight. There's some news out of the Board of Governors that there will not be a World Cup of Hockey in 2021, and the owners still don't want to go to the Olympics in 2022. The players want to get there, but it needs to be collectively bargained, and at this point, I'm not sure it's going to happen. But Pierre LeBrun reporting in the previous hour that sources are indicating to him that both the NHL and the PA are focused on a World Cup of Hockey in 2024 and then again in 2028. Which, I mean, that's a long ways away. And you're talking then at that point, the World Cup of Hockey was in 2016, I think. That's 8 years removed from, like, the best-on-best international hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last one was a joke.
It was.
I mean, like, mm-hmm. you had team make-believe and whatever the other one
remember
was.
Team Europe was, like,
they made it to the finals.
They were in the finals.
Right. And they had, it's a good thing they didn't win. Like, what anthem were they going to play? Like, they didn't have one. And so, there's a couple of things here. Like, it's easy to really bang your feet on the ground and kick Bettman in the shins and say they should just go to the Olympics. But the league, I get it. I get why they don't want to go, because they don't get anything from it. They shut the league down for a couple of weeks. You can say they get all this notoriety and publicity, great, but they don't get any money. And the IOC doesn't want to pay any money for insurance and travel. And that's millions of dollars. And then the NHL, once the Olympics are over, they can't use the highlights. They can't, because the IOC controls all of the highlights out of the Olympics. So now they're going to try and put the World Cup together, and they jammed this last one together, and it looked like a hodgepodge, and it was. And then you get the tournament over. You had players putting their health on the line. You have a short summer, and then you got to jump into the season.
and it's not really the ideal time to do it. So when is the ideal time? Well, I don't know, but they tried to do the whole thing in Toronto. That doesn't work. You're asking people to, you know, the same people to pay all the money all the time. I see why it takes a couple of years. And if you think of it, the Olympics are in 2022,
right? Yep. I believe. In China.
And so, yeah, so you're looking at just 2 years past that. So I get it. Some of my great memories as a kid were watching, you know, the 72 series, but also like when the Canada Cup came in 76 and mm-hmm. Bobby Orr played, it was his last gasp. That was my favorite player. Like, I love that. And then even they had the Challenge Cup, I think they called it. It was a made up trophy, but Canada played the Russians or the NHL played the Russians at Madison Square Garden, in a 3-game series. And then there was the great 6-5 game in Hamilton, like all those things. They all resonate, and I get why people like them and want them, but I just don't think it's as easy to put it together, and we're seeing that they can't put it together without a lot of cooperation, and in most cases, when you need a lot of cooperation, it doesn't happen very easily.
Yeah, it's without question complicated, and it's easy for me to say, well, just make it happen. It's not my money. It's not my business plan, but I think what gets lost on even the Olympic Games, like a lot of times the way it's built up, well, the reason you would do that is because you can find new fans. Well, forget about new fans. Appease the fans that you have because of what you just said, Ray. You've been a hockey fan your whole life, and your memories, they count for something. And it's the same thing with me. Like, if you're a Leaf fan, put it this way. In Toronto, there hasn't been any glorified moments. Like, the 92-93 teams are the most celebrated teams in my lifetime by a country mile. They didn't even make it to the Cup final, let alone win it.
Right.
So what do I remember? I remember 0-2 in Salt Lake. I remember Sid in 2010.
Right.
And it's just, it's disappointing that that's been a part of my life forever, your life forever. And it's just, it feels like it's kind of teetering to a point where it may just disappear. And that would be a huge disappointment to hockey fans.
Well, I guess, you know, you're at the Board of Governors, so those are the most powerful people in the game because they're the owners or the representatives of the owners, and they're the ones that are stroking the check, and they're the ones that are making the big decision as to when to try and schedule this thing. Like, nobody seems to want it to be in February because you got to shut the season down. In particular, if you go to China, heck, I was in Korea last time, guys. The games were in the middle of tomorrow. Right? Like, crazy trying to, you'd call home. I didn't even know what day it was. And people are supposed to watch them and get, you know, so this is the publicity that we're getting or this is the liftoff we're getting for worldwide promotion. I don't see it. And so if you had the World Cup and it was in February, that makes sense to me. But to have it in September, I don't see it happening. I just, which players, Noodles, just think if we were good enough when we played, and we got to the semifinals, and we finished around the 1st of June, and they said, oh, yeah, by the way, camp starts for the tournament. It starts in, middle of August. Like, you're going to get 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then you got to get in shape again to try and play, and now you're going to play, you're already going to play 80 games plus anyway. Now you're going to play another 5 or 7 of high-level games that you might not be in great shape for. Like, I don't know. It doesn't, it's great for the guys that don't have to play. They get all the benefits. It's 130 guys that have to play that are putting themselves on the line for it.
And that's the biggest challenge when you start to take a look at, and I'll go more to recent examples. When you take a look at Jonathan Toews, for example, how much hockey he's actually played with World Juniors, then Stanley Cup Finals and Stanley Cups won and everything in between, Olympics, mm-hmm. like the mileage on that body compared to other players, of that ilk, that's where you start to complain if you're a Blackhawks fan going, like, this guy looks 100 years old out there, and you're saying, well, this guy hasn't had a break. Remember we had Q on, Brian, not that long ago when they missed the playoffs. He's like, I haven't had an April off in how many years?
Yeah, but those are the players that are fighting to go.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Like, by all accounts, when you say, well, the players want to go, Yeah, there's 600 of them that want to go to Vegas or Cancun for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's 120 or 100 of them that...
But there's some of them that are like, I wouldn't mind going and trying... Like, it's a legacy moment. Like, if you're Connor McDavid and you dream of catching the greats, you got to get a gold. You have to.
Yeah.
You like, Sid did it, Gretzky did it, Lemieux did it, Orr did it. They all did it. You got to do it. But you got to be given the opportunity.
Right. You're right. It's not... For those guys, it's not the money. Although I think they do get compensated for their time. I forget what they got last time, but you're right. It's about playing, with Canada on your chest in the biggest tournament. That's why the Olympics are an overwhelming, yes, they all want to go.
Right.
Because it's the Olympics, man. If you get an Olympic gold medal, it actually means, right? It means like it, the World Cup, like, we might be all fired up about it. Do you think they're fired up about it in Helsinki, Finland? Not a chance.
No.
The games are all here. They're like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. The Finns are playing the Swedes. Fantastic. It was at the Olympics. Man, those guys, they lose their minds over it. And we do, too. The Olympics are the best formation. The problem is that the league and the players don't reap any benefit, almost no benefit, from going to the Olympics.
Well, Ray, when you talk about money, I don't know if you guys have followed what's been going on in the NBA with their schedule.
Yeah, okay. Jonas, I tried to follow, and then I got confused.
It's very confusing. But the basic idea is they want to hold a mid-season tournament, and obviously you can make money from a mid-season tournament. The league, the NHL is different because the games in the regular season mean more, but do you think that's something that they should consider? Like
alter their schedule to fit a World Cup in?
Something, or
it's maybe, their league.
But maybe it's not a World Cup. Maybe it's NHL teams in tournament. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's...
I think European teams do that, though. Like,
but they step outside their league and play what's called the Champions League.
Right, I just called two games. That's why I was late to being on the show. I just called two Champions League games, where you step outside your league and you play against other teams. It's a neat format.
And that's built into the... It's like this simultaneous tournament going on. If it takes months, right? If I'm not mistaken, Noodle?
It does.
And so they keep playing, and then all of a sudden, in concert with the regular season that gets you to the playoffs, you could be the Champions League champion and miss the playoffs in your league.
Right.
Like, technically, that could happen. And you know what? I kind of think it's pretty awesome, but how would you have a Champions League unless you have the leagues all around the world playing?
That's the problem, Ray.
Where are you, right? Like, they're in Europe. Everybody's 2 hours away. Like, okay, you got to play a home and you got two games with a team in Davos.
They're talking about building it into the schedule, so game 34 is part of this tournament.
It would be the Knicks versus the Raptors. The problem that you have is, like, it's not soccer where there's no equivalent league. There's no league that's close. You can't play the NHL winner can't play the winner of the Swiss league. It'll be a joke.
Let me ask you this. Like, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ray, but, like, is there anything that would attract you, and I'm saying, like, Brian... Jonas, Toronto fans, during the season, would it be like an all-Canadian matchup or something that on
that's
the
something
side?
You could spend.
Like, is it like the Habs,
the Canada
Edmonton,
Cup, which
Vancouver,
is Canada,
like that's the thing. To me, that may get some traction because of what we were just talking about when it came on, like Vancouver and Toronto, the cities that don't like each other. You know, those teams are good. Would it be nice to see a best of five aggregate or something like that.
They do that in soccer here. Like, there's the Canadian Cup or whatever they call it, where TFC plays Montreal and Vancouver. Yeah. And
okay, but so here's something. We're talking about Toronto and Vancouver because, you know, that's close to us. So what are Columbus and Buffalo doing?
That's a different cup.
Yeah, but does it matter?
Northeastern?
I can't even get my head around how the logistics of that work. And Jonas, I saw that article about the NBA schedule, and I got down to about six paragraphs in, and my head blew up.
Me too.
And I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about anymore.
Well, and they don't know how to incentivize it for the players. Like, how do you make it worthwhile?
Right, because if you just put it in as game 34 of the season, is that like, do the points count for both?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think they've figured all that out.
No.
Like, so that's what I mean. Well, then that's a true four-pointer.
Yeah.
You need a big time. Like,
then you really got to show.
It's interesting.
Up.
Hey, it is interesting, though. Like, it's, I don't think anything can be off the table. And sometimes you look at an idea and it looks ridiculous, and then you study it and it is ridiculous. And then other times you look at it and somebody informs you a little bit, and you go, hey, you know what? That thing could actually work. And then you start getting to work at it. Like, who knows? The All-Star game is, look, they're exploring guys shooting pucks out of the roof or something or other. Like, did you see that?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's yeah, going to work.
I'm like, oh, great, fantastic, right? Like whatever. But it's not, there are things they're trying to fix and they just can't be fixed. Maybe this is part of something to fix.
That whole idea of them, like, taking shots from an upper level. Remember Sid and Malkin did that video year or two ago, and there have been commercials. Like, it's a cool idea, but you have to have an empty building for it. Because
no, they're looking at a mechanism where the netting behind the net, I'm not even kidding, it folds down flat to protect the people sitting underneath it.
What's the purpose of it, though?
Well, it's a skills type of competition, I guess. Can you score if you're up on the upper deck? Can you shoot a puck down to the ice and land it flat? I don't know. But here's something that could end this immediately if the insurance policy comes into play. Okay, you've got a net directly over the fans. And these are NHL players. You know that they're going to be able to control where the puck's going. What if their stick breaks and it flies 25 feet to the left?
Who's the guy who's the guy who hammered somebody off?
Yeah, Tom Kite.
Tom Kite.
The
worst drive of all time.
So you, Tom Kite. Phil Kessel goes up there and snaps his stick.
And it flies somewhere.
And Tom Kites somebody.
Or his stick flies somewhere. Lands off some guy's head, and you're like, who came up with this idea?
Yeah.
Like, can we just get rid of it?
I don't want to say that I'm a negative guy with new ideas, because I'm not at all. I think I love some of them. After you see the first guy shoot three pucks, could you give a damn?
No.
You'll go, gee, that's awesome. He's standing up in the concourse. Go have a hot dog and a beer while you're shooting it. Like, I don't know. I just think, like, it's unsalvageable.
Yeah.
The All-Star game.
Yeah.
So maybe this stuff can be part of something new and exciting. It's a shame it's going to take so long to try and get it all figured out, but I get why it will. I just hope creative heads stay in it and don't get frustrated and say, you know what, it can't be done.
Yeah.
Because maybe it can.
All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. We'll see what comes out of the game tonight. It should be a fun one in Vancouver, and we'll break it all down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a great day, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline for all of December. Receive a $500 Von Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland.